Welcome to the Bloom Your Mind podcast, where we take all of your ideas for what you want and we turn them into real things. I'm your host, certified coach Marie McDonald. Let's get into it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 65 of the Bloom Your Mind podcast, where we talk about grounding. What do you think of when you hear that word, grounding? I'm going to tell you a story about it soon. But first, what do you think of? Do you think of grounding as walking barefoot in the dirt? Do you think of it as catching a grounder in baseball? Do you think of grounding as settling down into your physical body? Do you think about it as sort of calming yourself down? Calming the people around you down. Maybe you think of grounding as getting clear on what the outcome is that you want from something. Whatever it is, grounding for most of us usually means centering ourselves in some way. Getting out of our heads and the spinning of our heads down into our body. And I think a lot of the work that we do in reframing our thoughts and managing our minds, as we do this work, we sort of separate out our physical existence as humans and bodies from our existence as humans with brains. And in fact, our brains and our bodies are one system. And when we can really come fully into our bodies, it impacts our brains in a positive way. When do you need to ground? If we're defining grounding as settling into our body, coming more fully into our body and reminding ourselves where we are in time and space, grounding and settling and calming, when do you find that you need that? Is it when you get mentally kind of spinny? When you find yourself spinning out in your mind about something in a way where you can't really get an objective opinion out of yourself. You're too triggered. You're too wrapped up. You're too close to something. And you sort of start spinning out in your mind with worry. Or maybe it's something physical where you actually get nervous about something because you're physically experiencing something, whether it's speaking in front of a group or doing a sport, or maybe you're pressing send on something that you wrote or created and you're sharing it with the world and you need some grounding to help you feel safe and calm. Well, last week I was at the top of a ski slope, at the very, very top of a peak of a mountain, and I felt this buzz of anxiety come into my body. I used to be pretty fearless. I would jump off high rocks, go skydiving, you name it. And then I don't know what happened, if it's psychological, hormonal, whatever. But after I had kids, my mortality became way more evident to me. Maybe it was just the experience of giving birth twice and going through this experience of really understanding my physical edges a couple of times, or maybe it's that other humans are dependent on me now. Whatever it is, my mortality is way more evident and I get more anxious, probably still much less than average, but much, much more anxious than I used to. In physical events. Has that happened to you? Has your sense of risk aversion or your sense of safety, has it changed over time? Maybe related to social settings or maybe related to physical things like what I'm talking about here. When does that feeling of anxiety come up for you in your body, that feeling of fear that has you needing to ground? Well, this day I had been skiing all day with my kids. I've been skiing since I was 3 years old. I love it. And when you're skiing with kids, if you've done it before, you might know this experience of, you know, you ski down the slope and somebody falls and they garage sale all of their equipment, hats and goggles and skis and gloves. And they're like all over the mountain. And you just like kind of ski behind them, picking things up. You help them get up. You help put them back together over and over again. You know, skiing with kids is different than skiing on your own. You come behind them, you pick it up, you go slow on the mountain, you giggle a lot. I love skiing with my kids. It's so fun to support them falling in love with a sport. progressing as they're learning something. And it's so cute. Two little deviations just to make you laugh. After her first day of ski school, I came to pick her up and I was in this line of people who were picking up their kids. And the ski instructor was like, oh, your child did so well. They really, really progressed in terms of their snow plow, or they really did so well and were so courageous. And when I got to the front of the line to pick up my daughter, the ski instructor started giggling and said, your daughter pretty much ate snow the whole day. And sure enough, I looked down and my daughter's giggling on the ground, eating snow and just looking up at me and laughing. It was the best. Then my son, when he first got on his skis 2 years ago, he would do a snow plow, which is like a pizza shaped maneuver that helps you slow down and create friction as you're moving down a hill. And when he would stop, he would just look normal and look up at me. And then when he would begin to do his snow plow, every time he started into motion, his automatic response was to throw his arms out, fling them out to the side in a T like he's flying, and stick his tongue out in a little taco roll. And he would do it every single time he would move. His tongue would come out and stick in a little roll outside of his mouth. And then the second he would stop moving, he would pull it back in and put his arms down. It was like one of those like marionettes or whatever they are, where you can pull the bottom string and the arms come up and his tongue would stick out. It was so fun. So like doing things like this as a family is so delightful. So we were skiing together all day. And finally, I get time on my own to go off and do some of the more challenging stuff. So I go up to the top of the peak. It's called Kachina Peak. And I'm going to ski down the ridge. It's a double black diamond. And I've skied harder stuff before, but this one's really long. And it's windy as hell. It's so windy. And I'm the only one up there. And at the bottom of the lift, you kind of have to hike up to the lift. And it says, experts only, caution. Be careful. Don't come up here unless you are expert level. This is double black diamond. Do not mess around. Okay. So that's what it says as I get onto the lift that I had to hike up to. It's a very challenging lift to like get to, which I feel like is their foreshadowing, right? And so I have that in my mind. I'm by myself. I'm going up the lift and the lift is like swinging in the wind, which usually is fun for me, but I have in my mind, this is like really, you know, a very challenging slope to go down. So it's swinging and I'm like, okay, this is fun, but I feel like a little jitter in my body. Then I get to the top and I'm about to get off the lift. And there's this mannequin that they created that's like falling down the hill. And it says, you must understand how to self-arrest. If you fall, it's bad news. You have to dig in your feet and claw the ground. And it's, you know, you have to know how to self-arrest. I'm like, geez, okay, okay. And then I get off the lift, y'all, the top of this mountain, at the top of the world. And there's like five stretchers at the top. I am not kidding you. They're bright red and there's five of them stacked up. I'm like, okay, how many of these do we need? You know? And so there I am at the top. Usually I do not get too nervous, but I get off the lift and I feel the wind blowing up behind me. And I look down and I start to feel my stomach kind of get butterflies. I love physical adventure like this, like scuba diving. I've done wreck dives and night dives and deep dives. All this is really fun. I love skiing. And I know that if I am doing something physical, just like if I'm doing something with you all in my work or in life, if I get nervous, I'm much more likely to have a problem. It's the same with anything physical, with yoga or pickleball or dancing or pitching a baseball to my son, anything really. If I get in my head about it and overthink it, I'm much worse at it. Do you relate to this? Is this how it is for you? With skiing, if I start to doubt myself and I overthink it, I might catch an edge and fall. If I'm recording a podcast for you and I start thinking about, oh my gosh, is this going to be relevant? Is this, are they going to like this? I'm a weirdo on the podcast. I have to re-record it. If I'm in a public speaking situation and I get nervous, it is like a nail in a coffin for me. I'm going to be so much worse up there in front of a group, way less relatable, way less natural. I'm not going to laugh and like pick up on little cues as much. I'm going to be in my head. If I am writing an email and I'm about to send it out, or if I'm leading one of my group coaching programs, oh my gosh, if I'm coaching and I start thinking about myself instead of the other person or the group, so much worse off. How do you relate to this? When you feel your nerves creep in, does it energize you? Or does it make it sort of harder to pull off what you want to pull off? Think about that for a sec. Here's what I'll share. Our thoughts create our feelings. So if we think that we're not qualified for something, or that we might mess up, or that things aren't going to go well, or that we're full of hot air, that we're going to fall, we're going to generate an emotional vibration in our body, like anxiety, nervousness, self-consciousness, and that emotion is going to determine how we act. So if we create a stress response in our body, we might forget what we're going to say, or come across as stiff or inauthentic or weird, or talk too much or too little. You get it. In the skiing example, which literally happens, is that if I'm feeling confident, I take turns around moguls, which are big bumps of snow, faster. I'll hop around them. I get down the slope really easily. If I'm nervous, I second guess myself in the moment, which causes me to not do what's natural to me and my skill level. I move overly cautiously and I might fall. So there I am standing on the side of the mountain, and I realized I needed to ground myself. Now, what's funny about this situation that I'm describing is that it actually does have the potential to be life or death, life-threatening, right? An extreme sport. But we might have that very same reaction and that very same response to a hard conversation or to sharing our work, something that we've created, an idea that we're working on. And it's time to share it out with the world and we don't know how they're going to react. We might have the exact same level of anxiety, whether we are facing a steep mountain that we're about to slide down in high winds, right, with a lot of danger signs, or whether we're speaking to a group and we don't know if they're going to like us. So if you have an idea that you want to make into a real thing, which we all do, we all have things in our lives we want to change or evolve or create, little, big, whatever they are, you might have some anxiety come up at some point in the process. You might have some nerves that come up. And what we can do in that moment is we can ground ourselves. I like to think of grounding as coming home to ourselves. It's that process of asking, what is going on with me right now? What's the feeling that I have right now in my body? And then no matter what it is, accepting it. Even and especially when it seems like something you really don't want to accept. So examples of that are guilt or shame or self-loathing, loneliness. We might really, really, really want to get away from those feelings. But the most important thing is grounding is to be with whatever is there and to say, hey, yo, you may not be ideal, but you're here right now and I accept where I'm at. So when we're doing something new, when we do have an idea we want to get behind or put in the world and we don't know how it'll be accepted, rejected, responded to, we will have a stress response at some point. So here are three ways to bring yourself down from that place by accepting where you're at and then physically grounding. In our example, on the side of the mountain, with the wind in my ears and the snow getting kicked up in my face and this steep mountain full of moguls below me, I could see the rocks and the trees all around me. I made a decision to ground. I felt my heart beating in my ears and I noticed it there. And I said, I'm okay with this. I took a deep breath. I checked in with my body. I noticed all the signs in my body that told me I was anxious. And I reminded myself that they were there because of all the signs and the stretchers and the warnings that created anxiety in my head. I started thinking, this might be dangerous. This might be above my level. And it created anxiety in my body. So I embraced that anxiety, recognized it's there to try to protect me, and then reminded myself, this is not going to be fun. And it's also going to be way more dangerous if I stay anxious. So that's your first step, my friends. If you need to ground, first accept where you're at. Hey, I know that whatever I'm feeling is here to protect me. and it's not going to be super helpful to me. Embrace it. It's okay that it's there. It's there to help me. And you know what's going to be way more helpful to me is to ground. So here are three things to do. First is to picture yourself. You can close your eyes if you want. Take in deep breaths and let them out. And then picture an energetic beam of light connecting you and your body down into the center of the earth, grounding you. Maybe from your, there's a guy named Jeffrey Allen who studies the energetic system of the body and mind. And he says to really visualize this coming out of your spinal column, the base of your spinal column. And it can be a tree trunk or a beam of light, which is what I like, or a waterfall that just lets you release any of those feelings of anxiety and give them down into the earth. And just feel it all let go. And as you do that and let go of the fear that you don't need, then he recommends, which I love, filling your whole body up with your own energy. So the first step is to ground yourself, your feet on the ground, ground yourself with some visualization that connects you down into the deep core of the earth that helps you feel solid and strong. And then he teaches, Jeffrey Allen teaches, that much of the day, we are not filled up with our own energy, that we're maybe filled up 50% with our own energy. And if we don't fill all the way up with our own energy, then the space that's left over is space that other energy can come into us. And the way I like to think about that is like, if I'm not super grounded in my own emotional state, my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own energy, my own how I want to be that day, then I might start taking on other people's anxiety. You know how that can be contagious? If someone's grumpy, they're grumpy with you, you become grumpy, right? In our worst days, in our off moments, we just take it on. It's like a cold. It's like someone sneezing and we get a germ, right? Someone else is grumpy and we just respond grumpily back. They cut us off in traffic. All of a sudden, we're in a bad mood. We're cutting them off. Maybe a spouse or a friend treats us a little disrespectfully. And instead of thinking, ah, they're in a spot today, they're in a space, we treat them disrespectfully back. If they're a little grumpy with us, we're grumpy back. We give it back to them. But if we're totally filled up with our own energy, we will be much more resilient in knowing that is theirs, not ours. So the second thing you can do to ground yourself after you've rooted down into the core of the earth is to fill all of your interior experience, your whole body up with your own energy. And you can let anything that's not yours or anything you don't want, any anxiety or fear, just slough off and give it back to the earth and fill yourself all the way up to 100% of your own solid energy. Again, that's from Jeffrey Allen. And the other thing that he taught, which I really liked when I was taking his courses, is to gather all of your energy behind your eyes, all of your presence right behind your eyes. Now, I've done this since I was a little girl, gathering all my energy sort of right in the top of my head, but I love specifically how he calls it gathering behind your eyes. Something that I've done since my 20s is when someone is sort of giving me weird human behavior stuff, I can tell they're self-conscious or they're jealous or they've got something weird going on and they're giving me weird vibes. I connect to their animating presence, whether you call that God or their soul or their higher self or whatever, behind their eyes. And I've done that for a long time as a way to sort of just connect with the best part of a person if they're not in the best place, overlook whatever, instead of being contagious to it, right? And catching any weird vibes that they're giving off, I just sort of try to connect with the deeper part of them that I can see behind their eyes. And now I've added to it this Jeffrey Allen technique of bringing my presence right behind my eyes as I also try to connect with the deeper part of a person that's behind their eyes. So these are three things I've talked in my podcast before in my own language about feeling that buzz of aliveness in your own body. And you can, that is something that I combine with Jeffrey Allen's advice to let that buzz of aliveness, my own energy, fill up 100% of the capacity that I have inside myself. So these are three things that you can do to ground yourself. Number one, deep breaths, connect all the way down from the base of your spinal column to the center of the earth, letting anything go and giving it back to the earth. It can handle it, anything that you don't want. Then filling your whole body up with your own buzz of aliveness, your own energy to 100% so that nothing else can get in there. And then centering all your presence there behind your eyes. Three things to ground yourself. And when I grounded myself up there on that mountain, I accepted what was going on in my body. And I reminded myself, hey, this is going to be a way more fun and way more safe if I'm grounded. Then I went down that hill of moguls and I shredded it. I had a blast. I hopped from side to side. I got back into my groove and I didn't fall. I didn't need it, right? I didn't get injured because I grounded myself back in my confidence. I came home to myself. So how can you do that, my friends? How can you come home to yourself? And when do you need it most? Have fun with it. Have fun with the grounding. Let me know how it goes, and I will see you next week. Thanks for hanging out with me, friends. If you like today's episode and you want more of them, please take 2 minutes right now to subscribe and give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Then send this episode to a friend. See you next time.